but you gotta be willing to take the hit and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that.
Now, back to Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Tito's Vodka. Here once again, Johnny Radio.
I love it. I need to ride. I need to chill. I need to breathe. Oh, you heard it. That cough, man. I need that tussin. I miss that chunky tussin. God, I miss that stuff. Remember the gold?
Yeah, I was about to say the gold stuff.
That was the good tussin back in the day. But, man, right now, you know, like everybody's struggling to breathe because the allergies are so terrible outside of your house. Pollen's everywhere. If you got allergies like me, you are struggling. I got a degum Ricola. Had Tussin today, Sudafed, my antihistamine, and started Zyrtec. But you know what's crazy? You think about right now the pollen, how bad it is outside. The air inside of your house could be even worse. Serious as a heart attack. It's, you think like, what? My house. Let me tell you something. Do you know that your house could have black mold or any type of mold or any different type of, you know, particles in your house and things that are poor quality, and they affect your respiratory, they affect your sinuses, they affect like your immune system. In fact, they can kill you. And it only takes moisture and humidity. What is Memphis known for?
A whole lot of humidity.
Man, it's so damn humid. You get out the shower, you already sweating. So what do you think mold does? It, like, seriously goes out there, intensifies. There's only one dude that can take care of you. There's only one licensed mold assessor in the Mid-South. That's my friend Stan Mosier at Memphis Mold Inspectors. Go to memphismoldinspector.com or call them personally at 901-292-7788. That's 901-292-7788 for clean air and peace of mind, baby. Go to MemphisMoldInspector.com. Tell them Sports 56 sent you, and he's going to give you an extra special deal. You also get a free consultation. And if you're wondering, well, when do I do this? Now. And also, if you're like buying a home, if you're selling your home, if you're got an infant on the way, if your grandparents live with you, if you care about your dead gum health, Memphis Mold Inspector, go to MemphisMoldInspector.com. Talk to my man, Stan Mosier. Germ, so true's in the house, baby. What up, Germ?
We Germ of the Mac. Let's go.
Dude, man, we got the draft on Thursday. We got NFL stuff going down. We got playoff basketball in full swing. And I heard you got a little taste of everything.
It was only appropriate that I brought him in on Return of the Mac because, for one, the NFL was using it as like the draft preview song for a long time. And they've been doing it really since we've been rocking with Views from the 22. And so it's only appropriate if I bring in the real return of the real Mac, Germ So True.
I love that because he is the Mac. He is. And, Germ, how much work you been doing in the lab lately?
Man, I've been in there. We've been having some fun. I talked about some players before. We've been really studying some of these guys, really paying attention to some of these guys that people are projected to go in the first round, especially for our Thursday. So I'm here today to give you some Thursday notes, and I'm
yes.
here today to give you some basketball stuff too, as well. Yeah, I can drop off a couple things, and you know, send you guys be well prepared Thursday for everything that could be coming your way.
I love it. I love it, man. I am ready to rock and fire, and I want to first start off with just a little bit of NFL since Thursday's about to be here, and they got a big Thursday show you're going to do, and then we're going to get up in the NBA because we're going to gamble like some maniacs. Since you've been in the lab, though, who are some of the guys that you've kind of looked at that has started to pop off the screen for you that you kind of at first weren't necessarily sold on? Like, I look at David Bailey over at Texas Tech.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, man. The more I see, the more I like about him. Like, I kind of hate to say, I can't believe I'm saying this, man. I feel like if the Tennessee Titans added him with Jeffrey Simmons, they brought over John Franklin Myers, you got Jermaine Johnson, and you put in like a David Bailey or a Reuben Bain off the edge, that might just be exactly what you need.
Well, David for me is, I had a stretch where I said that he might be he might be the best edge rusher in the class, and I think that that is going to hold firm for me when it comes down to just a natural edge rusher. I like the mechanics. I like all of the things that he brings to the table, setting the edge. I like all of the things about him. The thing that I will say, my biggest ick when it comes to him is I'll say that I believe that there are going to be times where you are going to be able to get a hold of him because of some things with some leverage, okay? Mm-hmm. But these are coachable things, right? You can coach these guys up. He's not a perfect player. Remember, he's still a prospect. So when we're trying to find things wrong with the player, we're trying to find tendencies and things like that. There is no player in the NFL who hasn't gotten on any given snap, because these grown men on the other side of you are playing for their families just like you're playing for your family. Mm-hmm. So it's like you got to remember that part of it. But when it comes down to it, I think the consistency is there. I think that all of the little tidbits that you need from a defensive end perspective, he has everything there. The hands, the feet, he may not have the natural bend that you want to see to make him that Myles Garrett-esque type of a prospect, but he has the stuff that he needs to have in order for him to be the best rusher in this class. Reuben Bain will be a close second.
That's exactly where I was wondering. What separates him from Reuben Bain right now?
I think it's going to be the arm length.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing that I really like the most about Reuben, though. Jay, I love the way that Reuben sets that edge. I think he's the best run defender out of the two of them. I think David Bailey is the guy that can probably play the traditional left end that Myles Garrett is currently dominating in the NFL. And I think that when it comes down to it, I think Reuben Bain is, for me, he's a bigger version of like a Elmas Duverville type of a guy.
Hey, and he had a great, I mean, when he was in Denver, he was wrecking folks.
And I mean, we're talking about a 10-11 a sack a year guy, which 10-11 sacks, Jay, we need those guys in the league, right? So you say for a Tennessee Titan team, if you were to take either one of those guys and you can get a 14-sack-a-year guy with Bailey, I think he's about a 12-14-sack-a-year guy. And then I think that overall, man, Reuben Bain, I just think that he is an elite run defender. I think he is probably one of the better run defenders we've seen. I think I'm going to go on a limb and say that I probably would grade him higher than I did Bradley Chubb a couple of years ago as a run defender. And he has that same type of nasty streak to him. So I think those two guys are primed to be top seven picks. It would really shock me. It would shock the hell out of me if both of these guys did not go in the top seven. It would shock me.
There's no way
a team isn't looking at these two guys and saying adding them to my football team is not a thing that makes my football team better today.
When you look at just the Ohio State defensive players that are going to go probably in the top 12 picks, we look at the upside of, you know, I don't know how to explain it, but like Avarice is just a freak of nature when it comes to size, explosiveness, it's insane. I don't know exactly what he is, if he's a linebacker or an edge rusher. Sonny Styles reminds me of Devin White, hell of a linebacker out of Ohio State. But I just always keep going back to, I feel like the safest defensive pick to me is still Caleb Downs.
Caleb Downs is the safest pick in this class.
He's the most pro-ready, smartest football player. Like most, like every coach, every person that I've talked to, say that he is already a pro. He is, a tactician. He is a tackling machine. He is intelligent. He is a leader on the field. He's a leader in the film. I mean, hell, dude, if he's still available at 10, I guarantee you John Harbaugh will take him with the Giants.
Here's the thing that I like the most about a guy like him. He is, when I say he is the guy that is the most safest bet in this class, you know how you got a guy that his ceiling may not be super high, but his floor is so high because he does everything well. If you need him to cover a tight end, he can do that. If you need him to cover, you know, let's say in a nickel situation, you need a big nickel guy to cover a receiver, he can do that. He has the ability to be one of the better run defenders in the league from the safety position. But he also has a little bit of – he also can play a little free and play that single high. So I think his best natural trait, though, is him coming downhill and hitting people, coming downhill making play. I don't want to see him at the next level be a free safety because I think the strong safety spot is what he should be playing. But he has some of the traits and some of the ability to do both. I just think he's better at strong than he would be at free. I think you are getting with him an all-pro player at strong safety. I think with free safety, you get just a really good player. Now, to the next Ohio State defender. Arvil Reese is a freak athlete.
Yep.
Yes, he is. But he's 20 years old. In football terminology, the one thing that we love is young defenders, guys that we can still mold over time and even maybe change or fine-tune them to a position. Arvil Reese is a guy that if you put him in any type of defense, he probably would be successful. He can play Sam because he's fast enough to be able to be an off-ball linebacker.
Yeah, I was going to say he can cover a tight end easily in the flat. He can cover backs out the backfield. He can come off the edge. I mean, he's tall, he's long, he's fast. The only thing that worries me is, man, is he going to get cut blocked to hell if he plays linebacker when they try to run at him?
Now, cut blocking and stuff like that for him, I just think for him, it's just going to be about – this is, again, about leverage.
His
it's all about
arms.
Leverage when it comes down to that. But for him, I think he'll be okay. If I'm going to give him a views from the 22 position that I think he's going to be the best at, I think a situational pass rusher and a quarterback spy is something that would be ideal for him, kind of like another Ohio State player that kind of started to figure it out in the league, named Ryan Shazier. Mm. I think he gives a little bit of a Ryan Shazier type of vibe, okay? And then Styles. Here's my issue with Styles. Is he a linebacker or is he going to be a safety?
I think he's going to be an off-ball linebacker. Like,
now, if we say off-ball linebacker, Jay, my problem with off-ball linebacker is...
You usually only take them in the top 10.
I don't want... You with me. I think you already right where I'm supposed to be, where we at. It's the fact that we see an athlete... Every time we see an athlete like this, we run to the podium.
We don't know what to do with him.
And if you don't know what to do with him, you don't need to draft him because that's a waste. He has an abundance of talent and natural skills. But that doesn't help us when it comes to putting them in the best position so that we can utilize them on our 53-man roster. That's not giving us some of the things that we need for us to be able to do what we need to do. So my advice and what I think...
Is he Bobby Wagner or Fred Warner if he's the best of the best? Like, where do you put him? Like I mean, is that his, like... I mean, because he's 6'5", dog.
He would be Fred Warner.
God, he's the freakest athlete I know.
I mean, being Fred Warner is not a bad thing at all.
No, dude, he's a freak.
Fred Warner and Fred Warner, ironically, from BYU, converted from safety.
Yep.
Only difference was Fred was in a certain situation. Now, Here's where this gets real interesting, though. What team is going to say, I want this guy?
I could see, because of Dan Quinn's defensive mind, I could see the Commanders.
This is going to get interesting.
I mean, I could, just because of Dan Quinn. You know Dan Quinn's that defensive-minded kind of dude who feels like he can take an athlete and turn him into anything.
It's going to be – I'm really excited to see what we do with that, because that is a situation that I'm here for. I'm here for it. If I'm going to give – if I'm my final thing for Styles is he a top 10 prospect? No. Is he a top 25 prospect? Absolutely. Is he a first-round pick? Potentially. But it depends on the team.
Who's the best cornerback available? I mean, are we going to go to Tennessee where you have a guy who's been a pain in the ass?
This is an ice cream one. This is an ice cream conversation, okay? If you like old school, old-fashioned vanilla ice cream and stuff like that, I'm gonna probably have to go with my guy from Tennessee. He's in that great range of that six foot one range. He has really, really good off the ball skills.
Yeah.
I like the way he can mirror the receivers. I think from a standpoint of his technique is very, very solid. But if you like a little bit of Metropolitan, I think you're going to like Delaney.
Out of LSU?
Yes. I think that he is probably a little bit more technically sound. And I think
he doesn't have the injury history either.
Exactly. And I think for Delaney, the thing that stands out the most with him is, I think today he's the better man corner. If I'm going for a guy, let's say I'm a team that likes the pressure, and I'm a team that says that I have the best of certain things, or I feel like I have a great pass rush, and I feel like I just need one guy on the outside that can man up, I think Delaney is the guy that I'm going with today.
You know, I will say also, Colton Hood for Tennessee – he was one of the more physical cornerbacks, like for a late, late guy. I mean, you talk about putting him on a press man, somebody. If he ain't big, you ain't getting off Colton. Mm-hmm. Like, if you ain't A.J. Brown, you ain't getting away from him. Like, he's up in your business. I kind of like him. I like him as well. I'm not saying first round by any means. I mean, I kind of also like the kid out of San Diego State, Chris Johnson. He's quick. He reminds me. Remember old Fred Smoot back in the day?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of got a little Smoot in him, if you know what I mean. So does that kid D'Angelo Pons for Indiana. He's a little feisty, undersized guy, too.
See, he's a guy that you might see that you might be throwing in the nickel. I think he's a good nickel defender, for sure. And that's a great way to make your money in this NFL, considering – that, three receivers is where you're going to be, and then about 60% of your snaps. But I'm going to say, baby Terrell, Avion Terrell.
Out of Clemson?
Don't sleep on him. Please don't sleep on him.
Yeah, I kind of forgot about him.
He might be the guy, and when I said today, Delaney is the best today. In 3 years, we might look up and Terrell might be the best guy, and he might be a top three corner in the league. He has all of the tools and the upside. The thing for him is going to be how he combats playing with some of these bigger grown men in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And if he can figure that out with the way he's able to move,
he's a smooth, he makes the impossible look easy. Like, he makes it look like, I mean, coming out of the breaks and stuff, from his back pedal and immediately going forward if somebody goes on an out route and getting in front of people. When Clemson was actually being paid attention to, I remember him just being a badass.
Well, the beautiful part about him too that I think people got to pay attention to this. He might be the best cornerback in a few years too, just because of his ability to not panic when he takes a fake and be able to recover. His short area quickness is the best in the draft. Like, the way he can get from point A to point B to point C and to be able to maneuver with the receiver, and then he never positions himself where he's out of place to make a play on the ball for when the quarterback throws it. So if he's mirroring a route and a guy comes inside, he'll take that bait and go inside with them, but he has that ability to stop, plant, redirect, flip those hips, and get right back into play. That's rare. And not only that, that's also just great technique. So those are the things that he does that nobody else does very well. So I like him a lot in that regard, and I just think that is probably going to be a thing for him. Whatever team gets him, you're going to get a good one.
Well, we've been talking tons of NFL football with my man Germ So True. Tell everybody where they can find you talking a little NFL before we switch to the NBA.
Well, we'll be talking about it coming up here in Views from the 22, of course. We're going to have some draft trivia. We're going to have all types of stuff going on. So make sure you guys tune into the show Thursday. And most important, like, just follow the socials. Facebook and X or Twitter, as they call it. And one more thing before we switch to the NBA. I'm standing on the table. I'm standing on my table today. I am willing to take this and say this today. Jordan Tyson will be the best receiver out of this class.
Whoa.
Jordan Tyson is the best receiver in this class today. And if Jordan Tyson isn't an all-pro, I'll be shocked.
Talk to me about his pro day real quick, because I didn't pay attention when he was running. Like, how's his hammy? Like,
it's not just – okay, injuries are a part of the sport. Can we agree on that?
Facts.
This kid's feet and lower body, as long as he got feet, as long as he has – movement in his lower extremities, he is the best route runner in this class. He doesn't need hands to get open. We call this the all-foot classic. The pressure step to the next step. And the way he can adjust. So he has a rep that he's going against the guy, and he takes the pressure step, he kicks out, and the guy's able to contain him and keep him locked up and keep him held up and jammed for 5 yards. So they go right back at it. So this time he hits the pressure step move again, but the second step, he shortens that step and stabilizes his body and gets a quick, nice little acceleration burst and goes right by him. Then when he goes by him, the guy overplays and pursues and comes under. He swims the hand over, flips the hips, the guy grabs the jersey. Not only did he still make the contested catch, he still got enough separation to give the quarterback room to throw and put the ball somewhere. On a guy playing sticky, very, very, very good man coverage. I think that he is the one guy that in any scenario, whatever team he goes to, he is a D-factor X because he can take the jam on these third downs and he can be the guy who can beat teams and be the main guy that teams go to on big downs.
And those tight windows,
but you're talking about a 1,000-yard receiver with 10 touchdown catches, and he's not even playing full season.
True that, and... like, yeah. But that's the thing that scares you in a 17-game season in the NFL. How many games are you going to play for me?
If you get 10 to 12 seasons out of this kid,
Oh, yeah. Then you're good.
I'm going to say 9 to 10 of those seasons. Okay. If it's 12 years, I'm going to say at least 10 of them seasons, you're going to get some great production. And you're going to get all pro type production from him. The biggest thing for him is it's going to be how the quarterback gets him the football. How do we protect him from himself? If we protect him from himself, we got ourselves a stud. That's all of that. I'm standing on the table. Jordan Tyson is the best wide receiver in this class, and he might be one of the best wide receivers in the last 3 to 5 years.
Damn. Oh, he's all up in a little Tyson. All right, now we got to switch gears, though, because I got to get a little NBA action.
Absolutely.
Tell me what we got going on, Germ So True, that's got you fascinated, because I like to make some money. In fact, all the money I made last night on my wins, I already spent it this morning, sadly, on a damn bill that I didn't know I didn't even have. So we got 76ers and Celtics at 6 o'clock on the Peacock. Boston is a 14-point favorite, total 217.5. 7 o'clock, Trailblazers and the Spurs. Wimby, unanimous defensive player of the year, first in a long damn time. Dude's mad, man. Trailblazers in deep trouble. They're 11.5-point favorite, 220.5 is the total. And then tonight, the Rockets and the Lakers. Houston is a 4.5-point favorite on the road, down 1-0 in the series, total 207, with an old LeBron James and a Alperen Sengun who got worked by DeAndre Ayton and should be embarrassed. What are you looking at the most tonight?
So tonight I'm going to go through each game real quick before we get off today. Easy for me. Boston, for all my gamblers out there, I'm going to tell you all this now. I think tonight is a good night for Jaylen Brown to get 4 assists because I think they're going to try to take the ball out of him and Tatum's hand today. So I think 4 assists. Respectively, for both of the superstars, is a good go for. The three-pointers, that ball is going to be moving tonight. So you might want to just put a couple. You might want to put a couple of Celtics in a couple different parlays for at least one or two three-pointers made tonight. I think the Celtics are going to probably make about 25, 30 threes tonight. I think it's going to be bombs over Baghdad tonight. I think it's going to be bad.
I sure got a parlay with Pritchard, Derek White, and Sam Hauser all getting 2 threes apiece.
Yes, I think that is a beautiful bet because I'm telling y'all, the way that this Boston team is right now, if they're not favored to win the East, who is?
Damn.
They are the most battle-tested. Tatum going down last year obviously is a big part of why I believe that they didn't get back to the finals. Uh-huh. Tatum looks good. He looks pretty good. I like what I see from him. And the thing that I think is the best part of this is I really think that this 76er team, they've come a long way, got Paul George back, they got some decent pieces. Maxie is playing out of his mind. But we weren't going to really see the best of this team without Joel Embiid. So let's just call it a day. Let's just go ahead, grab the broom.
You want the regular?
Grab the broom.
You want the regular or the Swiffer?
We need the old straw broom.
Yeah, let's get the straw.
Get up all the stuff.
Not the cheap one with the plastic handle. We need the wood handle.
Yes, absolutely. Old school.
I want to be a volleyball coach. Have you seen this sport lately?
Yeah, that's sport. Hey, listen, it's a good-looking sport.
It is a great-looking sport.
Great-looking sport. So next game on our docket.
Yeah, next game, I'm sorry. Somebody sent me a nice text message. They go, you need to start watching volleyball, and I think I do. But I'm back.
I agree. Wholeheartedly do I agree. We were talking about volleyball last night. Anyway, Portland, this is a PSA. I said this to Ham the other day, and me and Ham proceeded to have a whole joke session for about 10 minutes about it. Portland, I don't know what you're going to do with this Wimby guy. I just don't know what you can do. The big man is that's that's Black History Month. Every time I see him on the court against Black Victor Wimby, it just don't look right. It's just not working. If you put him on Victor, Victor's going to score 50 points. He can't stay in front of him. You're going to have to play small. You're going to have to rotate some of these 6'8", 6'9", 6'10", wing defenders that you have on him. And you're going to have to make 23s. And Denny, my boy Denny.
He's badass, though. I like Denny.
He is Denny. Denny is nice. Got a little old school feel to him. You know what I'm saying? With how physical he is. I will tell you, Denny has to have 25 a night. And that ball has to be moving. So we're saying 8 to 10 assists a night. And Portland needs to knock down 20 to 25 threes in order for this to be a game.
Right. That's just for them to have a shot.
That's just to have a shot for the game.
Yeah.
That's not including the fact of all these other shot-making people that they got.
Kind of makes me think about that total going over 220. Because, I mean, you know Spurs are going to score like billionaires
over,
in brothels.
Yeah, they can put 130 up real quick.
Over.
Yeah,
Stephon Castle,
yeah.
You might as well book him. You can book him for 6 assists. Go ahead, put it down on the paper. Book him for 6 assists. Two of them is going to be alive to Wimby, and two of them going to be to Vassell in that corner, and two going to be to Champagne in the corner. I'm even telling y'all how we getting them tonight.
I like it.
Let me see.
Rockets, Lakers, baby.
Oh, by the way, book Victor for 10 rebounds at least, and book him for 25, 10, and 4. And that's four. You can do that.
Over 39 together.
That could be 4 assists. That could be 4 blocks. It's getting ready to go down. And Lakers and Rockets. I think tonight we get a better showing from the Rockets. But here's the problem. LeBron still, at his age, is so dominant that he damn near controls every part of the game. And on Houston's side of the ball, they don't have anybody like that. If KD does not play tonight, the Lakers go up 2-0. It's not. And we're talking Mark LeBron, put LeBron James, double-double, 18 points, 12 rebounds, 8 assists. There you go. There's the numbers.
I almost kind of wonder, man, like, should we do like Alperen Sengun? Like a little overaction tonight because he's got to play better, and Aiden can't outplay him like he did in game one, can he?
What you looking at number wise?
I'm thinking like over 10 rebounds.
No, slow down, Savannah, slow down.
I want to go there. But
10 rebounds for him tonight with Aiden and Hachimura.
And
remember,
Hachimura there too. That's what I'm thinking too.
I think the problem right now in this series. For Sengun, is Sengun, if he's not going to punish them on the block, when he gets a bigger guy, or excuse me, one of those smaller guys or forwards on him, he's not going to be as effective. Because the first thing is, I'm just going to take him away from the basket.
Yeah, take him away from the basket.
I'm just taking him away from the basket. You got to go, hey, you going over to this corner, or Hachimura going to have 4 threes tonight? You can't afford 4 threes of Hachimura tonight.
What do you think the chances are Kevin plays with his knee?
Man, listen. KD, this is your boy, Jerm.
37-year-old KD now.
KD,
Texas,
they need
KD.
Help. I don't want you to go out there and get hurt. So let me just say that. Listen, I'm pro you. I'm all about you, brother. Easy money sniper. I'm all about you, brother. If you can't play tonight, just know you going in with a deficit, and Luka Doncic coming back.
Yeah.
I don't think you can afford that, because that's 99 problems right there. And Luka is going to be, for lack of better terms, Luka going to be on trash when he come back.
I'm just afraid, though, if he does come back, when he gets back, the problem is they're going to run into that Thunder team that just looks impossible.
Oh, my God. Listen, that Thunder team is – listen, public service announcement one more time. I'm sorry. Colin Gillespie, Grayson Allen, hell, even Devin Booker, do not put them on SGA.
That's yeah,
Black
don't
History
do it.
Month.
Don't
Every
do it.
Time.
It's a it's whistle. Bad. Every Jay, time's a whistle.
That man said, that's Black History Month.
No. Stop being nasty. No. They cannot be on the floor playing defense against them. That is not going to work. Listen. SGA is going to do them, is doing them so bad. That's just game one. SGA has a streak of 20 point games in the NBA that we might not see get broken for another year or two. He might not snap this streak for another year or two.
And shoot, the way Jalen Williams is playing, and I mean, like, I just, like, there's so little over there at Phoenix. I mean, Dylan Brooks trying to get in everybody's mind couldn't shoot his way out of, like, anything. Devin Booker, for some reason, couldn't make free throws the last month. Jalen Green's going to have to hit more threes. That's for damn sure. And, like, none of that right there makes me even feel like they're going to stay within 14 and a half.
Here's the problem. This is the ultimate problem, right? And Jay will say this. Royce O'Neal is not a bad ball handler, right? He's a pretty good player. We're not saying he's great. We're not saying he's a great player in the aspect of he's
shoot,
a difference
maker.
Shoot,
it's 17 and a half now. Did you know that?
It shot up 3
Tomorrow's game has shot up 3 points since it opened.
Hey, man, why y'all even going any further with the analysis on this? We already know that the Thunder are deep enough that they can split their team in half and both of those teams will be in the playoffs. That's how well they play together.
Hey, yo, listen, that is an insane thing. But I just need you to remember one thing, though, Ham.
What's up?
If Jalen Williams is the person that's guarding Royce O'Neal, you might as well just put Royce O'Neal on the bench.
Black history both again, huh?
Listen, that's no. That's black on black crime.
On black crime, yeah, you're right.
Because Jalen Williams will pick him 9 out of 10 times.
It's true.
That's bad. And we not even talking about just how good the Thunder are defensively.
Defensively, yeah, that's what I'm saying. They get down all of them. All of them can go.
36-2 in points off of defense. Break points from turning the other team over. 36-2 in game one.
Yeah, the white dudes and some everybody.
And they
all
transition threes. Isaiah Joe step into 2 or 3 threes a game.
I feel like the best three is a step in three when you got like a stud right there who's walking up the court and you drive it and you kick that junk to a wide open homie. It's like pure. And it's just demoralizing. Man.
Aaron Wiggins. Oh, my God. Listen, the Thunder, and I say this, shout out to the Timberwolves. They pulled off a big win last night. Shout out to them. But let me tell you something. Denver was bound to lose the game. Let's see how the Timberwolves come back from that high and come down a little bit. Because I'm going to tell you, I just feel like Denver took their foot off the gas, and I feel like they got a little tired.
I feel like the youth of the
Timberwolves and that type of thing is really the difference in the game, I felt like, the other day. And I just feel like Denver will be prepared for game three. They're a veteran team.
Germ, so true. Tell everybody where they can find you and what you got coming up.
We will be on the draft show. Check me out and the guys out. And we're going to have everybody together, all together again Thursday. Bring your snacks. You know, bring some smiles, bring some laughs, and you know it's 420 week, so you might as well get you some Blunch.
I do.
You
know? I love Blunch. It's one of my favorite things, and I want people to start. I want Blunch to be a thing in the
Blunch
future.
A thing, baby.
I'm telling you. Hey, Jermaine, thank you for your time. Be blessed. We're going to do it again soon, my friend. I'll be there
Absolutely.
With you on Thursday, by the way. That's my homie, Germ So True. Always check out Views from the 22. Always check out The Scene. Always check out my man, 94 Feet Historian.
YouTube.com/94 Feet of Life.
Simple as that. Hey, we back in two shakes of a lamb's tail. Don't you dare touch that dial. I got a little bit of wood and gambling. Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Not only can you listen to your favorite shows on Sports 56, you can also watch video of the shows live on Twitter and YouTube. Watch and listen every day
at Sports 56 WHBQ.
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
Now, back to Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Tito's Vodka. Here once again, Johnny Radio.
Welcome back to a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy, Johnny Radio. We're about to do a little Hardenwood where it feels so good because I got a couple funny stories. Then we're going to go straight into a few bets the last segment of the day. But I do need to remind you of something important. Don't paint, baby. Don't paint. Powder coat. If you don't know what powder coating is, well, welcome to the 21st century. It bonds to anything metal, ornamental, automotive, industrial. They have the largest batch ovens in the Mid-South. It is science, bro. It doesn't rust. It doesn't chip. It doesn't fade. It is there forever. So bring that perfect color. You can bring in a sample. They can make any damn color on planet Earth. It is awesome. Then they're going to sandblast that junt, soda blast that junt, get everything down to where it's just a metal, baby. And then they're going to do their science. And they're going to get all that powder coating. Then they're going to bake that junt, and all of a sudden it's part the metal. It's going to last longer than you do. I wish they could figure out how to make me last that long. But industrial, automotive, motorcycle, ornamental, wheels, you name it, it is perfect. It doesn't rust. It doesn't chip. It doesn't fade. Again, it's the new thing. Give them a call at 901-367-2771. That's 901-367-2771. Or simply go to rickspowdercoating.com. Let's go to Hardenwood.
This is Access Hardenwood.
You know, Matt Barnes does that. You know, he smokes a lot of weed, right?
I mean, the man has a podcast called All the Smoke.
All the Smoke, yeah. And he's always smoking a joint.
Sometimes he does, sometimes he don't.
He does Blunch. Well, yeah. Every time I've seen it, he's always smoking.
Right. It depends on, I think, who the guest is.
Okay.
Sometimes
he's like, I'm going to be nice.
They don't
partake. Like, if I was talking to the Pope, I wouldn't probably smoke a joint.
Like, CM Punk was on the episode recently. CM
like,
Punk
when the Join the Best and the Brightest in Blue, Join MPD.
Yeah.
Like, I ain't going 420 on them. You know what I mean? That just makes them uncomfortable.
Unless they just request.
No, they ain't requesting that. They drug test their ass.
I know they
this ain't the NFL. By the way, the reason I bring up Matt Barnes is because this is hilarious. Is this real? Man, see, I get God a lot. But it was on TMZ. Don't they usually check their ish?
For the most part, yeah.
So, you know Matt Barnes likes ladies, right?
Yeah.
You know there was a fake AI Instagram model that was done by AI and a little bitty dorky dude in a, like, his basement?
In today's world,
and got $61,000 from Matt Barnes.
Wow. For what?
Because he was coming over to put a little work on this AI hottie.
This is bad, man.
That's why you got to bring cash, dude. This don't be paying. Bad. Hey, that's why Bitcoin's dangerous, man. Yes, yeah, blockchain is great technology and everything. But, like, if you send somebody that money, how you going to get it back when you find out that they ain't real?
Okay, which one? Well, I wasn't even going to ask that question because I already know the answer.
I mean, right now, if you spend $61,000, buddy, you better keep following her, I guess.
Hey, it ain't the million that Shannon had to put out.
True that. And by the way, Shannon, what were you doing with an 18-year-old OnlyFans model?
They're creepish.
Ugh.
Shame.
Like, I don't even know. By the way, do you want to know what I watched, actually, when you came over and when you were making fun of me? Because, what was it? The View was on or something?
The View or whatever you watched.
I was not. My wife was out there exercising, a-hole. Remember, I was in the back. That is fair. I was not watching that ish.
It was women on TV.
I don't even know what she watches, to be at the time. It's ever the Dateline murder porn.
It was a panel of women on TV. That's all I know.
But I will tell you, do you know what they said now? This is crazy, because when I walked by, the one thing I did notice, because it caught my ear, I walk by and I hear, according to like Hinge and all the dating apps, like Tinder, is that right? And
I don't know about it.
And Spanky Panky or whatever. I don't know. That's a good name. I'm sure it's out there. Hell, they have one. Farmers Only. Did you know that?
FarmersOnly.com.
Dude, I ain't going to lie to you, dude. So this was back in the day when that first thing opened. One of my little interns opened me up to that. And them farmer chicks are fine. Now, that's a long-ass drive, bro. That is a long-ass drive, the freaking Cornville. But the damn chicks are fine.
Is it worth the drive?
It's worth the drive.
Okay.
It's definitely worth the drive. Oh, my point was, though, for the first time in human history, 2025, younger men were cougaring more than any time in human history. In fact, young men 21 to 30 were picking up more women 40 and above than men were picking up young chicks.
Yeah. I can actually make
this is the Coolidge chick issue, right? This is when MILFs became popular.
Pretty much.
And she went and put a 200 body count on her in like a year after Stifler's mom. Did you know that?
Right.
Dude, 200?
Yeah, the American Pie is largely responsible for for that.
That girl was like, thank you so much. I never had sex before. Oh, turn your mic on. My man's over here talking. Nia Long, yeah, she got what's-his-name fired from the Celtics.
No, you know, Nia Long, she...
She fine as hell, but she likes swinging.
She makes the young guys that she has business with, you know, sign the NDA. So them older women, they like them young men.
Yeah, and for them, they can just kind of do their dirt, if you will, and just go on.
Right.
Young dudes don't be, and they might get to a point where they trip about it, but I'm tripping because the young dudes don't like the young chicks.
Well, you know why the old dudes don't like the young chicks now? Can I just tell you why? Young chicks, here's what I'm going to tell you a young chick does. What can you do for me?
You go.
How much are you going to pay me?
It becomes very...
By the way, young chicks also, I don't know if you know, they got seven other dudes, like, DMing them while you over there.
It's transactional, and they got a lot of options.
Yeah,
so
they got,
think.
Like, by the way, you got half the money in all the Oosbay.
They call it a roster. They got a starting five and
a six. Uh-huh. Yeah. Hey, dude, that's a 15-man rotation. What are you talking about?
They got somebody for nails. They got somebody for food. They got somebody for hair.
But they oftentimes mismanage their roster because they don't know how to handle rosters. Sports guys like us, we know how to handle rosters.
That's
sports
why.
Women, except Diana Rossini, knows how to handle a roster.
I saw my hot chick with the hot leg, the one that you can't stand for some reason, Sophie Cunningham.
She only got a 1-year deal, too. She's a little upset about that.
Well, the reason I bring it up is because, like, I thought she was one of the top, like, paid players in the WWE.
No, Sophie's mid.
She's mid, but she was top 5 in 3-point percentage. She was like top 10 in rebounds, and she was number 1 in legs.
I mean, number 1 in legs, you know.
She was number 1 in legs.
I give her fight.
All that junk inside that trunk. I want to get love drunk. Love drunk inside that trunk.
That 1-year deal that she got, though.
My lovely
she
lady,
better,
huh?
She better cash in on that payment because she might not be there next year.
No, she needs to go back to college. Did you see what happened today? Almost ished my pants.
What?
So, one, I saw Steve Kerr is leaving the Warriors, and they're looking at Todd Golden.
They haven't made it
in
official yet, though.
I mean, it's happening.
Right.
I also saw that it looked like the 2030 Super Bowl will be in Nashville. Yeah. LeBron's happy.
Yeah.
A-hole. But, dude, have you heard about the, you know that big chick, Audie Crooks from Oklahoma State?
Of course, and she went where the money went.
Bro, she got a $1.4 million payday, okay? Do you realize that? That's more than any WNBA salary, period, end of discussion.
Yeah, because she's going to produce and get buckets. She's going to be a walking double-double, getting 30 and 10, 30 and 12, 30 and 15. And they still probably ain't going to win because they ain't going to have enough guards around her. But she's going to the show, and she's going to be paid.
And she's still going to also be like this. What can you do for me?
Probably so. I don't know, though.
She went to Oklahoma State.
She seems like
didn't
a,
she?
Yeah. She got that T-Boone Pickens money.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He rich. We need us a couple billionaires around here to help out Memphis. That's for sure. Also wanted to say one quick thing. It's very, very important. If you didn't know this, Tito's is the number one spirit in the world. Yesterday was a big 420 day. Today is a typical Tuesday. Three NBA games we're watching. We're gambling. So go home and grab the best spirit in the world. That's Tito's Handmade Vodka. If life hands you lemons, you don't freak out, you don't fret, you don't stress, you just make a lemon drop. Make sure it's with the best. That's Tito's Handmade Vodka. Wimby's going to dominate. Are we going with the Lakers or the Rockets?
Depends on KD.
Depends on KD. That's my time.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.